Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Think about the last time you had a cancel subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Welcome to the latest United We Stand podcast. It's Manchester Derby Day. There's 2 hours to kick off and I'm walking up to Old Trafford. It's been a rainy weekend, but the rain has stopped. It's actually a very pleasant and mild Manchester morning on the banks of the Manchester Ship Canal. I'm just walking past Sam Platts now. Just chat to Webby for a minute. He's one of the doormen here. What's the mood like inside the pub today?
It's good at the moment. Confidence up. Everyone's happy. A couple of City fans have tried to come in with...
What did you say to them?
Not today, boys. Not allowed. It was all right, to be honest. It was chancing arm early doors.
How do you know they were Blues?
Ben Sherman shirts, give it away straight away. And the inflatable banana under the arm. So we got told to move on. It was all right, really. But we went over to... We always send them to the line by the bet. But the manager there hates us.
You went to Salford City yesterday. They've reached the FA Cup first round.
They have, yeah, and I've just shown you the goal. And what a goal to win a cup side.
1,000 there.
1,000 plus. Gary Neville was happy.
I might get Gary on this podcast, actually.
Yeah, get him on it, because when the goal went in, it was nearly like the scenario of when Scholes just scored the last-minute winner at City and he put a big kiss onto his lips. They were very excited about the goal. So was the Salford fans. And let's hope they get a decent draw. I'm on a ball 55, so hopefully get a spinning side and get a few quid.
Your pub is hammered here. There's queues to get in. The atmosphere is building. What time will people leave? Some of them as close as possible of kickoff. Just
you know,
get beers down
about
the net.
20 to kickoff. Right. Mass majority leave. Some 5 minutes before the end, and then obviously depending on the result, it'll be this busy full after the game.
And if United lose,
Andy, we won't lose.
But if they do,
very quiet.
Yeah, people just don't come back in.
The people come in for a drink, let the traffic go, but it'll be a sad atmosphere, which we got a few times under Moyes last year after the derby. It was bouncing. You can see it now, the lads are up for it, and we're well over 2,500 before kickoff.
I'm going to walk towards the ground. I'm going to keep talking. Thanks for your time. Maybe see you later. So you can hear the noise in the background. I love Derby Days. I've always loved Derby Days. I think fans of every football club in the world will tell you the same thing. I went to Blackburn Rovers against Burnley yesterday, and even though I don't support either of those teams, although Burnley fans thought I was a Blackburn fan, I'll give him a hello. You okay? You all right? It was a buzz, and it's always a buzz. On Friday night, I should mention, I went to the 25th anniversary function of MUDSA, Manchester United's Disabled Supporters Association. I flew back from Moscow, turned up late to see Brian Robson talking. There were 600 people there inside Old Trafford, the Manchester suite, including Sir Alex Ferguson, David Gill, loads of former players. I mentioned Robson, Quinton Fortune, Paddy Crerand, Martin Bookham. It's an excellent organisation. I know we've featured them on the podcast before, and we've always found them very interesting. I spoke to loads of United fans who go home and away. They've got a specially adapted bus which allows for wheelchairs. A friend of mine was speaking to Sir Alex Ferguson and said, "Fergie, how are we going to go on in the derby at the weekend?" And he opined that he thought United would win because City didn't have Aguero. And you'll be listening to this after the derby, so you'll have a far better idea of the mood than I will. But I'm walking up to the ground and everyone's buzzing for it. There's a new United Week standout. We put a lot of work into that. It was a great buzz when you see the hours that have gone into the mag, hundreds of hours of combined effort, and then you see people turning up and buying it and paying the harder, not clicking on a like or giving it a retweet, paying money which they've worked hard for to buy the fruits of our labour. And it's going really well. It's going well this season. I've said that before on the podcast. Just going past some sellers with the selling half and half scarves. I'm not a fan. I don't know anyone who is a fan, but they're very, very popular, which says a lot about football fans these days. You get a lot of tourists going to games, not just at Old Trafford. I watch Barcelona frequently. I see exactly the same thing there, although they don't have half and half scarves because there's no point wearing a scarf half the time in Spain. Just walk past some of the tickets out saying, "Any spare tickets?" Your tickets will go for a lot of money today. You can put hundreds of pounds. That's the face value. Later on, I'm just talking. There's people trying to vie for your attention. Hello, mate. Nice to see you.
Hi, fella.
Steve.
Thanks for putting me in the magazine.
Steve Owen. This is recording the podcast now, Steve, so I can speak to you. Steve Owen is a Stretford lad who was in They Bleed Red, White and Black
Old Trafford
last month. Old Trafford lad. My mum would tell me off for confusing Stretford with
Old Trafford,
because she's an Old Trafford girl as well. What do you think ahead of the derby, Steve?
I'll be happy until I get a ticket. Ain't got a ticket ever.
Have you not?
No.
So, what are your plans to get a ticket? How do you aim to get one? You know a lot of people. You've been going for years.
I'm stood on the corner of Ferguson Way, going back to the old ways, trying to do a bit of buying and selling, like the old days, and it's not happening.
So you're asking people for tickets?
Yes. And everyone's middle class with half an hour scarves.
Just been talking about that.
And it's doing me fecking head in. I was going to swear. And it's driving me mad.
Why have you not got a ticket? You've not got a season ticket?
No. Because I don't believe in all that season ticket stuff.
So
I'm a red hatter.
For years and years,
you've never had a season ticket. Never.
I've seen you all around the world.
That's it. Any spare tickets, anyone?
One of the first times I saw you, you took all your clothes off. And you can sue me if this is factually incorrect. It was on a pre-season tour in Norway, and I was in a ferry crossing a field with you. We're all these middle class, if you want to talk about the middle class, very welcoming Norwegian people who were very curious. "Ah, you've come from England, you're watching Manchester United." And you took your clothes off and started dancing on the roof of the hire car. Is that true or not, Steve?
That's a bit true, that. In my drunken stupor.
It was brilliant, though. Brilliant. And I remember laughing that much that it hurt your stomach. And I was thinking, what are these people going to say when they go back? You know, I've just met some supporters of English football from Lunatics. Manchester. They took all of their clothes off and started dancing on the roof.
Are you
hopeful of getting a ticket?
Well, you know what? It's the first time any derby that I'm struggling. Because none of them, usually mates just turn up on the day of the match with a ticket. "Yeah, Steve, got you one." But no one. You know, everyone's phoning me up and saying, "Steve, sorry, mate, can't help you." You know what I mean? It's getting like the Liverpool game.
Yeah.
It's actually getting like the Liverpool game in the old days.
So you know how much the tickets will go for. Are you saying that Liverpool's are still a harder ticket than United?
Well,
City?
At the moment, I got two for the Liverpool game. Not easy, but two together, which is a rarity. But I'm stood here now, and I've been here about an hour and a half, and I'm not getting a look in.
Keep trying.
I will, mate, you know I will.
You certainly deserve one.
Yeah.
And I hope that you get one.
Without people like me in the ground, there's no noise, is there?
No, I know. I think that I get frustrating as I'm talking that you,
nah,
that you don't have a ticket.
We've just got to the pub, won't we?
Yeah, I know, but you should be inside the ground.
Yeah.
And as we say that, someone walks past with an half and half scarf.
I know.
And just think, you,
I
just,
know.
You just...
There's hundreds of walking passes with
you just don't get,
they
don't get it.
What it means.
Anyway,
but
how's United going today?
3-2 United. Through a mad game, innit?
So there is a palpable sense of optimism outside Old Trafford. I'll leave you to it, Steve.
Get a five and I'm off 3-2.
Right, a five on 3-2. Take care, pal. See you later. So I'm crossing over the Trafford Wharf Road now. It's where Sir Alex Ferguson Way meets Sir Matt Busby Way. And the spread of people, the diversity of people, is so different to when I first started coming to football. And it's good. It's not just it's good and it's bad. It's good because when I first started going to football, a lot of people didn't feel safe watching football matches. You see more families now, you see more females now, just walking past the Old Trafford Supporters Club, which is busy. Fans going in to get into there. They pay £1 to get in there. And I spoke to Mr. Neville recently and he said that they recently presented £16,000 to local charities in Trafford. It's a familiar cry. That's of United We Stand. Steve Armstrong,
Chief,
one of the usual hosts on the podcast. Stephen, we're recording now. Been speaking to some characters along the way. Al, what's the mood been like on St. Matt Busby Way?
It's quiet, innit? I think most people are tucked up waiting for the North East Derby to start, so it's been pretty quiet, to be honest. Not seeing any blues.
No blues?
No.
Not a single blue?
No, well, it's Manchester, innit?
So?
Not seeing any of them, no, which is probably for the best, because you know what I'm like on Derby Day.
So, when will you see blues?
I probably, when hopefully...
Will they come in on coaches?
You get a few coming past on coaches. What tends to happen is they tend to pull up here and then start mouthing all kinds of Munich stuff, like they do. So
coach?
Yeah, from a coach behind windows, yeah.
I saw a load of that yesterday. I was getting loads of abuse from Burnley fans from behind a coach, being accused of being a Blackburn bastard. Go to a dentist, you scruffy Blackburn tramp. Yeah. I mean, you're shouting at me from a bus. You don't even know me.
I try and amuse myself by seeing which of their buses has the cleanest windows that have been licked continuously for the whole journey down. So,
how do you think United will go on today?
I don't care who you play at home. You should always set out to win, and I don't see any reason why United shouldn't win if he plays the right side. Obviously, long trip in midweek, he's got potential to span at it, so that'll be playing on his mind from a selection point of view. Said it at Everton, so did a lot of people on the podcast there. If he plays under Herrera, Manchester United are a completely different proposition than when he doesn't play Herrera. So I was a bit disappointed to see him in midweek, because I'm probably going to make the assumption that he won't play today and Matt will. But,
well, he wants to,
yeah,
obviously.
I'm sure he does.
And I think he's done well enough when he has played.
He's an exceptional footballer and he gives United pace. He makes us a different proposition attacking than any other player at that football club. So, you know, I always think there's a reason Steven Gerrard stamps all over him last year, and that's because he was absolutely bossing that game at Anfield. So, you know what I mean? He's
that
a top
pass
top
through
player.
To Matter's first goal.
Exceptional.
He's not only a good player, he's a great lad, you know.
Well, it was dead interesting. Well, Palace away last year, it was when a couple of our lads ran on the pitch when we scored, and he actually ran over, and I think he ran over to a lad called Mez to tell him, look, hurry up, you need to get off the pitch, the police are coming, which is just, you know, fucking brilliant. New United, we stand out today, 250.
He's a football fan.
Yeah, you can tell. He said he wants to go any away, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. And Matter, in the New United, we stand, makes a similar comment.
Those two lads fucking mashed on the bus.
I speak to a lot of the players. They are among the brightest footballers you would ever meet. They're also good at football, and I just think they understand the fan culture, which is important. I mean, if I said to Anderson, can we interview you for United We Stand, he won't have a fucking clue what it was. Although maybe I'm being unfair on him, because I'm hoping to interview him in Brazil in February. But
Don't offer to pay the bill in whatever restaurant you're meeting in, for fuck's sake. You'll end up broke.
And to be fair, Victor Valdes is a bright lad as well, but it's not going to happen for him at Old Trafford, so which is a sad situation, because he's a fantastic goalkeeper.
He's upset the apple cart somewhere down the line, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, by speaking his mind. Yeah. He's had a big argument. He speaks his mind, and he's always done that. Thing is, when he was at Barca, Van Gaal probably needed him. but United have got David Heer, who's probably the best goalkeeper in the world.
If you were Everton,
who's got Tim Howard just letting cocking up left, right, and centre, or Newcastle, whose number one's out for the rest of the season, you'd be swarming all over that, wouldn't you? But it's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know the ins and outs, you probably know more than I do, but it sounds like he's been treated pretty poorly by United.
He has been treated poorly. He loves living in Manchester. I know people. Honestly,
fucking man.
I've interviewed Victor. I'm not a close friend of him, but I know him. And he knows who I am.
Stand out today. 250.
I know people who know him exceptionally well, and they say he loves living in Manchester.
He's not in fucking Moston, is he?
Spoke to one of them the other day, and he said he's found a really good blues bar. And I don't know of any blues bars in Manchester. And this will go out and
met Eddie D's.
Loads of them. Yeah. Right. Don't think he meant he ain't City. And I know of another story of a journalist who came to stay with him in Manchester earlier this year. And he interviewed Valdez one day and David Silva the next day. And Silva gave him a piece of City training gear. And this lad then went to watch United at Cambridge away. He was in a pub wearing this top that David Silva had given him. And he gets clocked straight away by lads coming up to him saying, "You can't be wearing that in here, mate. You're going to get filled in." And he said, "What?
Brilliant.
Just fucking take it off now, mate. We're telling you kindly. Where are you from?" He said, I'm from Barcelona. And one of them asked him if he knew me. And he said, yeah, I know Andy. And anyway, he took the top off.
All right, mate. You're all right. Enjoy your mag.
Put it on the floor. And he said they stamped on it. They threatened to set a light to it, but they didn't. But looked after then. Quite but, I mean, what did you expect going in a United pub wearing a City shirt? But I did laugh when he told me.
Well, you can ask Mac of the Paris Angel. Like, he went into Mulligan's after one famous derby game. And, two and a half, my mate. He's the only City fan I'll talk to. Him and a couple of others are all right, but the rest can fuck off.
I'm going to speak to Barney from Red News 1 second. So, Barney's selling his Red News. Hello, Barney. How are you feeling ahead of the derby?
Whenever I doubt Van Gaal, we win. So, I'm not feeling confident. So, I hope that reverse psychology means we win. So, I just don't know. You don't know, do you?
Because you go to Arsenal away and think, we're going to get a result today.
Yeah.
And then you get caned.
Go to Everton thinking, right, this is it. We're on a flat thing going. So, I just don't know.
And dominate the game.
To be fair, he does do better in the big games. So, Aguero out. It just gives you an. There's no change in that. But the Fergie mystique of us turning up, feeling confident, that went well and truly.
Well, Fergie thinks we're going to win today. If that's of any consolation to you.
Right.
Is this a new Red News?
Yes, it is.
What's in it, Barney?
Lots of good things. Healthy material. Knackered. Done on the computer, packed in, so I had to do it on 10% brightness, as Apple Macs have a thing where they fail after about 4 years, so my head was in pieces, and the baby just staring at me saying, "Feed me," while I'm looking at doing any article. So, but still enjoying it. Here we are, selling as we always have done.
Well, if you're going to curse computers, I might as well tell the story that I went to Moscow the other day to cover a football match and couldn't cover it because there was no Wi-Fi. So I travelled most of the way across Europe and watched the second half underneath the stand trying to get Wi-Fi, and I just had an absolute technical disaster.
You look healthy considering the amount of travelling you've done this week. I felt for you when the Moscow train story, that it's not we've all been there, never in a place like that, but we've all had an experience where you just turn up and you think, why is it not on the board? What's going on?
I'd planned everything meticulously. I was getting a night train from St. Petersburg to Moscow. Hello. And I got to the station, I'd left the Zenit game slightly early, I'd left myself with good time, I'd got a taxi, I'd bargained the taxi driver down, I'd left my bag in left luggage, I had my rail ticket in my hand, and I was 15 kilometres away from where I should have been. And then I got on the sleeper train to Moscow, and it was one of those four berth ones, and I thought, great, there's no one in it.
Yeah.
And then three Russian men came in, and I thought, all right, well, one of them ended up snoring too much. But one of these Russian fellas, I should tell a story, he said, "Have you ever been to Wales?" I said, "Well, of course I've been to Wales, you know." He said, "It's my favourite country in the world. I've been four times." "Why? What's taking you from Moscow to Wales?" He said, "Castles, iron crosses. It has the most fascinating industry." And then said, he'd been to Cardiff, he'd been to Flint, Conway Castle, Carnarvon. I said, "Well, I've got a cousin who lives on the Chlin Peninsula." He went, your pronunciation is incorrect. It's Chlin. I'm getting corrected here.
And we all have our hobbies. For every football anorak, there's a cathedral. I said the Hearts, we played Hearts and a friend in about 89, and we got the sleeper train back, and I got on, and I thought, oh, thank God, it's just about to go. berth on my own, that's it, peace. A fat bald bloke got on, got into his underpants and string vest, and I thought, oh, this is going to be one of those journeys. And he went to go on the ladder, arse first in my face, and farted. And his words were, well, at least I didn't follow through. And I just thought, we've got a journey ahead of us. And I can't even remember the score of that friendly, but the things we do.
Well, Igor from Moscow said, I snore very loudly, please feel free to kick me.
Yeah, not you're going to gonna do that tough.
I kicked him at least three times in the night, and it did work. He did stop.
It adds to the story.
And then I've carried on travelling, and I'm now in Manchester, and I'm going to go on to Italy.
Two games
yesterday, and I'm going to go to Italy this week. I'm going to meet Hernan Crespo, Patrice Evra, go to Modena. I'm going to watch Juventus, Inter Milan. I'm going to go to Parma. There's an interesting story there.
I just don't know how you get the energy, though, Andy. I hope Evra explains his little intriguing. I'm annoyed about the way I left United. That was left in the air. I wonder what that could be about.
I know what happened there. He was annoyed because he felt he deserved a longer contract than was offered. And he kicked off about it in the Beverly Hills Wilshire, where United was staying in July of last year.
When he came back to visit, right?
Yeah. He wasn't happy about it.
He deserved a long... Because he's one of the ones who actually got on with Moyes, isn't
he?
Yeah, so that's
he did.
You
he
think
did.
Moyes would have realised in your small dwindling band of people, he'd have done a... I mean,
I think it was part club policy.
Right,
and what you also had was a belief that Luke Shaw was going to be the club's left back. And at the time, you could see the reasoning for that. In hindsight, Shaw needed a year, didn't it?
But also, there's an experience that player can fit in 20, 30 games, and you don't need to use them every game.
Shaw said that right from the shot, to be fair to him. Yeah. He said, I wish Patrice was still here.
So are you confident, Andy?
At the derby?
Yeah.
I had not got a clue, because... Under Ferguson, I'd come in and say yes. And now, you know, look at, you go to Arsenal, you think you're going to win and you lose. You go to Everton, you think you're going to draw or lose and you win. On balance, I am. I think United will win today.
I hope
and
so.
Everyone listening to this.
Big one.
We'll probably be laughing if we do.
The other side is, I hope the atmosphere is good, because it was so poor against Liverpool, both sets of fans, and obviously we're winning. But you just think, we don't want these fixtures to lose. You know, we've lost enough where the atmosphere is so just like any other. Please don't do this. We need, you know, it just felt like another game there, and I thought, you've got to have it. You've got to have that rivalry.
We've talked about it loads, and the subject's been covered in the fanzines for years, but I stood with the Besiktas hardcore in Moscow on Thursday night, and I was really impressed how good it was, and really gutted and envious.
Yeah.
Thinking, these are brilliant football supporters.
My editorial, I just hope United don't realise too late. A, we've got to encourage younger fans to Old Trafford, and I think United should be making strides rather than saying it's a Premier League thing. Be the first to say we're not going to say we support safe standing. We're actually going to say, right, what can we do with Trafford? What can we do now to do it? Because English football is now, if the average age is, as they say, 52 at Old Trafford for season tickets, it's a logical thing. Unfortunately, we're all going to die off. And what comes in our place? You do not want it to be this new fan experience where people pay 20 quid to go to the pub.
As we say this, a large BMW Rolls Royce has just come past us, and now there's a big
BMW. It's a natural cycles, and football is... wanks itself off. You know, Scudamore can sit in his office, but they've got to realise they have to do something. And I know we keep saying the goose, you know, it'll burst, and it never does, but it's a natural thing. You know, you're 52, it doesn't take rocket science to realise in 20 years they've got a massive problem unless they address it. So the soapbox over.
No, I agree with you. Good luck today.
Yep.
Good
Thanks,
luck
Andy.
With Red News.
All the best with the travelling.
Thank you, mate. And I'm going to carry on towards Old Trafford, and I'm going to join with you probably after the game. Bin's here outside the ground. Former United hooligan in his days. Long reformed character, and now a bastion of Mancunian society. Who's going to win the derby?
1-0 the Reds.
Yeah, with the way it's going this season?
You don't know which team's going to turn up with Louis. But we're happy. We're up there. Look, after what Moyes put us through, I can't be going through that again, you know what I mean? But
what would you say to David Moyes if he walked past now? He's actually a very nice man, but carry on.
No, I just say hello, David. It never worked out for you. I think you'd held Everton back for 10 years now, looking at Martinez. But good luck to you anyway. We don't wish you any. He's a red, he was here, we'll give him a bit of love. Get red love, you know what I mean? But
any City fans been past you yet?
About three.
What, with colours on?
Yeah, they had the shirts on. We don't. They won't turn up here. What time's the kickoff? 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll get here about 2:30.
Take care, mate.
All right.
I'm walking across the forecourt now. A bit of good news. Steve Owen, who we spoke to earlier on in the podcast, just walked past. He got a ticket for £40. And I don't know whether this is a blessing or a curse. It's in the executive area. So he got it at about 1/4 of face value, even less than that. Probably someone who knows him helping him out, which is good because fans should help each other out at face value for tickets. And although Steve Owen will be expected to be quiet in that executive area, knowing what he's like, he won't be. So if you see someone, if I see someone getting ejected at some point today, then I guess it will be in. So I'm going to go into the ground now, walking past the Holy Trinity. And you know what? It's full of tourists, people with selfie sticks. Just around, they're getting that iconic photo, stood outside the Manchester United sign. And then they're turning round and getting them one stood outside Best Law in Charlton. I know a lad from United East End who took all his clothes off and climbed on that statue. But I'm not allowed to mention his name. He got told off because he wasn't very respectable. Hello, mate. Nice to see you. When did you come?
Yesterday.
From Copenhagen?
Yeah.
Okay. How are United going to do today?
I think we're going to win 2-1.
You've been going to games for a long, long time. How many did you get to a season?
Around 10.
And you
home and away.
Yeah, and you tell us about the website that you're on.
I built it when I was 17 years old, 13 years ago. That means I'm turning 30 soon.
Well, what's your website about? You know, it could be about porn. You're not doing a very good job selling it, are you? I'll do it for you. It's a Manchester United website, the biggest United website in Denmark.
Yeah,
you've done
exactly.
It for a long time.
Yeah. Ultra.dk.
And how many Danes have come over today?
Today I know at least 50 people, I suppose. Yeah.
And you go to European away games as well? I've seen you at a lot of places.
Yeah, I'm going to Wolfsburg as well.
Yeah?
Hopefully.
And last question. What have you made of United so far this season?
I don't think we are stable enough, and our weakness is Wayne Rooney at the moment. He's not playing well. He's in the squad because of his name, and that's a weakness for us.
Well, he won't be soon if he carries on playing like he does.
Yeah.
He'll be dropped.
Yeah.
And we put him on the front cover of United We Stand today, which is a bit of a risk, but we think we should back him. He's our captain. He's been a good servant of this club. I'm not going to pretend he's played well this season because he hasn't done. I'm not going to pretend he deserves his place in the squad, but I would love him to score today.
Yeah, me too. This is the perfect scene for him to really get on the scene and get back to it.
Now we've plugged your website. So give us the web address.
Oldtrafford.dk.
Right, in return, can you bring Helena Christensen on your next trip from Denmark to Manchester? That's the deal. We've shook on it now. On the forecourt outside Old Trafford. It's top man, Casper. I'm inside Old Trafford. I'm with Fred Eyre, one of my favourite City fans. Fred used to play for the Blues, and he's wrote some very successful books about football and about City. And he also ran a shop for many years. And my grandmother was one of his best customers. Is that right?
That's right. God bless her. Yeah, she was great, Mrs. Mitten. Wonderful, the lady.
How have you're watching City every week, Fred? How's City doing?
Well, they got off to a great start, about 5 clean sheets, and then a little bit of a wobble, which we don't expect these days, but that's what's happened. We've just had the team given to us for today. I'm pleased that Vincent Kompany is back. Obviously, all City fans will be, and hopefully his injury niggles, which have been quite a few, hopefully that's all behind him now, and he'll shore up that defence for us again.
Who have been your best players this season, and which players have disappointed?
Well, since he come in, Kevin De Bruyne has been an absolute revelation. I suppose people would say, well, what do you expect for 54 million? Well, you know, sometimes we get told by managers when they sign big name players, oh, give him 12 months, judge him then. He's come in and he's just looked as though he's been here all his life. He's been absolutely fantastic. So I'll go for him. Obviously Aguero is top of the goal scoring charts, but that was because of one burst against Newcastle United. But you know, you're always guaranteed goals off him. Defensively, I just think the pairings in the centre of the defence, because it's not been consistent, the same two every game, that's been a little bit marshmallow for us. But they're all individually great players who are at Manchester City these days, because we can attract the best in the world.
The club is unrecognisable from the one when I was a lad, yeah. And certainly from when you played.
Yeah.
What have been the positives and negatives of that? Has anything been lost with the ground getting bigger? I know crowds have surged.
No, obviously.
Or is the brilliant football just... You know,
it is consistently brilliant. It's a joy to watch. The uncertainty that was a part of its charm over the years for me, that people would say, thankfully, that's gone. But
we have that here now.
But overall, there are so many positives. And I mean, the new owners, you know, there's been lots of clubs in the past that's had a big injection of money and not really done anything with it. Most of the stuff that's been done at Manchester City whilst the new owners have been here has just been absolutely top class. On the downside, it is true to say, although they're doing the best to inject an odd youth player here and there, but local boys are struggling to get through, whereas that was a feature of the club in certainly in my day. You know, it was automatic, not for everybody, but the pathway was Manchester School boys go through the junior teams, and if you're a good player, you'll get in the first team. That could happen to you now, and you could be a great player, but you might not get in the first team. So that's a bit of a downside.
Thanks for your time. Finally, what's your prediction for today's game?
I'm going to have to do it to you because I hate myself for this. I always like to say a win for either side, but it's got a draw written all over it. It's not something that I really want to say, but that is what I feel in my heart.
I wrote a piece finally about Frank Swift this week.
Oh yes.
And I went to see Bert Trautman many years ago and spoke to him about Frank Swift.
Yeah.
What an amazing story.
Well, it is unbelievable.
He's a former City player. He lost his life at Munich.
Yes, he did. I went to my first game at Manchester at Main Road when I was three. And my dad said, you know, if you're a good lad, I'll take you to Main Road on Saturday to see Frank Swift, not to see Manchester City Football Club play Arsenal, as it happens. City 0, Arsenal 3, not much changes. And so my very first ever game, you know, big Frank Swift was in goal and we were stood right behind his goal. So I was about 2 yards away from him for at least 45 minutes of that game.
Thanks for your time, Fred. Enjoy the game.
Cheers.
The game finished 0-0. Here's the City manager, Manuel Pellegrini, followed by the Manchester United manager, Louis van Gaal.
No, disappointed not, because I think that we have a good tour in a difficult stadium. I think that we played better maybe in the first half. The second half we lost so many balls that it was impossible to try to create chances. But as a team, if we need to defend, we can defend. As a tactical games or mind games, I don't know exactly the name that you put always in the media for teams that come for the draw. It's easy to defend with 10 players behind the ball near your box. It's easy. For me, it's not the way to do it, but if you cannot find the space and you are not clear with the ball, you must try to do it well, and I think that we did it well.
Why did you feel you couldn't find that extra space today?
Because we lost too many balls in the second half. I think that the first half, I think we played better than United. We came here to the stadium for the 3 points, and we tried the first half to score. We have not clear chances, but we have more attempts that United did. In the second half, was not our intention, because I don't like to play in that way, but for different reasons, we started losing the balls, and United started having a good possession. They have very good and technical players, so you must be very concentrated in defending, you must play with high intensity, because in this derby, normal one or two balls decide the games.
Well, Kevin De Bruyne seems a natural replacement for David Silva's sort of number 10, your playmaker. Were you tempted to play him there out of the wing?
Well, in this moment, I think we must try to choose the starting 11 that is better for the team. We don't have many options. Maybe with Kevin there, with the difficult and hard game that we play on Wednesday, maybe our midfield for this game will not be able to complete the whole game with high intensity. That's why I think that Fernando was was important. There, Kevin, I think that he always plays in the three positions behind the striker in both wings. I think that as every player, they have better days or worse days, but it's not a matter for him in the position he plays.
Manuel, did you think it was a penalty in the second half?
Which penalty?
Sterling on Pereira.
I don't know. Really, I haven't seen it again. It was far from the box. I don't think that the referee has any important thing that you think that decide the game. Maybe also for me, it was in Otamendi, it was very clear for another penalty. So I think it was a good referee today. He didn't have any problem.
How pleasing was it to get back to the top of the table, bearing in mind you maybe haven't played at your best and you're missing two key players?
No, I don't know if we play in our best. I always read a lot of media that the teams, when they have a good points playing away, they are very tactical and very mind games. I think that we can do it also. It's not our, I don't like it, so it's not our normal way to do it. But if we need, we can do it. And of course, if you cannot win the game, don't lose it. Mm-hmm. So one point here is not bad. We continue at the lead of the table, and we try to continue next game to play in again in the way we normally do, as we did in this game in the first half.
Sorry,
Manuel,
what did you say about Otamendi before?
About what?
Otamendi, you said before about Otamendi. You said it was a penalty or something?
It was a free kick, maybe.
Sorry, what happened? I can't recall that
one. Well, remember the last four or five minutes. We pushed. I don't know who was his mark, but it was a push mark. I don't think that's a penalty also, but I repeat, that's the decision of the referee. I don't think that this game, both managers, we cannot talk about the referee because he didn't have any important decision to both teams.
Is David Silva close
coming
back for you?
Well, for the moment, no. We must wait. I never want to talk about the injury players. But of course, if you see today our bench, we have Mangala, De Micheli, Zabaleta, two young players, and Jesús Navas. Maybe with Nahri, Silva, Agüero, and Delph, we can have another options to start, another option to make the substitute during the game. That's why we have also Clichy, the defender. But I think that with so important players out, I think that we must try to continue winning the games that we are playing and hope we can recover as soon as we can all of them. But I think that David has some days more.
Okay, questions, please.
No questions. What is the question?
Was it the correct result?
You beat 0-0? It's a rhetorical question. You can answer that for yourself, I think.
Were you disappointed not to win?
Yes. I'm disappointed that I said also to my players, but I cannot complain because I'm very proud of my players. And you can do that after Champions League, they also, but we are playing the game in Moscow, it's a different situation. And you play 90 minutes and you are concentrated, focused, like we have showed, then I'm very proud. But we are still 2 points behind, so it's disappointing.
Do you feel you're the only team trying to win today?
Yeah, but these kind of questions, you have to ask not to me. You have to ask my colleague. You have seen that Manchester United has attacked. And they have the right to play compact. And they have done it. And they have a fantastic team also on the counter-attack. but we have prevent that also in a very professional way. So I cannot complain. Only I'm disappointed, and we don't have the luck, neither. Because I've seen on the video that Herrera, it was a penalty. It's a penalty, but the referee was not giving us that benefit. And of course, it is difficult to see. I can see it on the video, and you can see it clearly that he doesn't touch the ball, but the legs of Herrera. But that luck we don't have in this season. But I can imagine that it is very difficult for the referee. So it's not a big issue, but it is like that. It's not the first time that I see that like that way. But we have to score also out of the three chances. Linkert and Smalling two times. But Linkert, I was surprised that he could do that, because it was a very difficult situation for him. He did it remarkably well at that situation. But we don't have created so many chances, because it is difficult. How they have played, so organized, so on a counter-attack. It's, then it is difficult for every team. That's like the game against Moscow. It's the same, also organized, but it says something about the strength of Manchester United nowadays.
Louis, there wasn't a shot on target until 8 minutes from the end from either side. Are you both lacking something in that final third at the moment, do you think?
No, I have said in half time we can also shoot from outside the box. You don't have to combine in the 60 meter area, because they were like that, and they were also always pushing up. So then you can shoot also. Try your luck at that way. But yeah. That was my remark also. You can shoot also from outside the box. We had the different situation that I saw. Now, you can shoot. Why you don't shoot? But yeah.
Rooney seems particularly anxious about that. I mean, you can see, I mean, he tries hard, but you can see it's not coming naturally for him at the moment. How, where do you put his form and his confidence in the
book? Sir, I have to talk every week about Rooney. Why?
Because he's a top player and people see he can play better.
Okay, then you have to write it down. It's your opinion.
Well, I'm asking
you. No, I don't give any answer anymore about Wayne Rooney, because I'm sick of it.
Okay, last question.
The fact you didn't take shots on goal, is that because of a lack of confidence, or are they trying to create the perfect goal to?
Yeah. Okay, we shall evaluate that with the players group, because I said that in half time. So that question, I like the question, because I've seen that also, but we have to speak about that. And I don't have the time to speak with my players after a match, because they have to answer a lot of questions of the media also.
Okay, thanks guys.
So you've just heard both managers. I'm just leaving Old Trafford now. I'm with Fred. Fred, what did you make of the game today?
Well, I've already read some of the headlines for tomorrow, because we're in a privileged position, and the word dull was used and the word dire was used. I think that's a little bit harsh, but obviously I was disappointed in so much as both teams sort of not only cancelled each other out, but in midfield strangled each other out. You couldn't get a chance to breathe in there. What it must have been like to be playing in that midfield. I think if Paul Scholes had been out there today, he'd have found it difficult to find a yard of space.
There was no space there, was there?
Absolutely not.
Everything was pushed out wide.
So, well, as a consequence, you know, it wasn't a free-flowing game by any stretch of the imagination.
What did you make of Wayne Rooney?
Well, I've always liked him, I'll be honest with you. I know he divides opinions. I've always thought he was a great player. I'm not going to mention, you know, his 30th birthday, but he has had already a 14-year career at the sharp end, at the top end, and it is a long time. I hope it continues for you know, a few more years, because I do really think he's a very, very good player. I think it's fair to say that Manchester United, it's not for me to tell Manchester United what to do, but if, you know, if they can produce another Ruud van Nistelrooy, Van Persie at his peak, you know, I think they do need another out-and-out number nine spearhead, even Tommy Taylor back to Munich. You know, one of them.
Yeah, it would take so much pressure off Wayne if they brought that striker in.
It would take so much pressure off Wayne if they brought someone in like that. It'd give him a chance to do the things that he's best at, and that is not battling with giant centre-arms and getting cut heads and what he did today, and be able to just concentrate on the more finer points of the game. That's only my opinion.
You don't think he's finished?
No, and I hope he's not. Because I don't want Wayne Rooney finished at 30.
Mm-hmm. You think the way that he's played, he's left up there by himself, he's almost exposed?
He is a little bit, because, yeah, that's a good word. One thing about him also, for a great player and somebody who's at the, you know, he's captain of England, he's never objected, well, maybe a little bit of a grumble, but never really objected to being shoved out on the graveyard shift, as they call it, out wide left, dropping back into midfield, playing up front as an out-and-out striker. Anything that he gets asked to do, he does it, and he does it better than most other players. So I'd like to think, as a little reward for all that he's put into the game, that there's a few more years in him yet.
Thanks for your time. For who will finish above? Who will be the top placed Manchester team at the end of the season?
I think it'll be Manchester City.
I think it'll be Manchester United.
What a
shock. Let's catch up at the end of the season.
Okay.
All the best.
All the best, Andy.
I'm walking back across the Old Trafford forecourt now. Just met a very pleasant family from Bergen in Norway. A father and I assume his two sons, who enjoyed watching the game. Would have liked to have seen more goals, wouldn't we all? My own feelings are that, well, a little bit disappointing. I'm not entirely surprised. I said at half time when I did an interview that I felt both managers would settle for a draw. I've not changed that opinion. The Rooney stuff I spoke to Fred Eyre about, well, it saddens me a little bit watching him, because I think he's a good person, a good captain. It's just not quite happening for him. And I don't think it's through a lack of effort or lack of professionalism. And United are still there or thereabouts. I suppose progress of sorts, because City were clearly dominant in a Manchester derby up until April. And United can go toe-to-toe with them now. Don't think we've seen any repeats of those 6-goal defeats from a few years ago. That's it for this podcast. Thanks for everyone who bought United We Stand today. And I'm going to go now to meet the United We Stand lads, and I'm going to record another podcast straight away, which we'll put out before Wednesday's game against Middlesbrough. Because we've got enough for this podcast already, so we'll do it that way. Take care, and we'll speak to you on Wednesday.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.